The question was asked, is it improper to litter? And if it is improper to litter, then why aren't rabbis telling people to take better care about not littering? So when we discuss littering, we should really discuss littering on public property and private property. Meaning, if you walk by my house and you finish drinking your soda can and throw it onto my property, so then you've littered my property. Technically, what have you done? You have wasted my time that I have to go and pick up your garbage and throw it out. You have, you could say, defaced my lawn by the fact that now my lawn looks dirty. I don't know if that I could sue you for that, halachically, but you've definitely bothered me. There are halachot about people not throwing their garbage into one another's yards. Here we're talking about an area which is like, yes, if I walk by your house and I open up my candy wrapper and I don't ensure that the whole candy wrapper stays in my hand and a little piece of my candy wrapper fell on your yard, then I don't know if I could really sue you for that. And you could say it's negligible. You could say, well, it's a little bit of work. I happen to live in a house where we're ground floor, and we live in a place where many, many people pass by. We have on any given day, I would say, a few thousand people walking past our front yard. Just stand there. There's almost never 10 seconds without someone passing. You could say, stand and watch. It's not like there are masses, but think about a person or two every 10 seconds. You'll realize that's quite a lot of people. It happens to be a good thing because it prevents burglaries. I mean, there are always people there. It's not so easy to burglarize from the front. I mean, I'm not going to tell you whatever. So yes, if every person that walked by, if one out of every 10 people would be negligent and would just drop a wrapper on my yard, you could imagine that at the end of every day, I could just go garbage collecting, picking up everyone else's garbage. Chazal tell us that in Sodom and Amora, and not only in Sodom and Amora, the Midrash says this about the time of Noah as well, a person would go to the marketplace to sell, let's say he'd be selling seeds. So dates, right. That's the example the Medrash gives. That was their seeds. Today we'd say seeds. So how much does one seed cost? A seed doesn't even cost a shekel. Doesn't even cost half a shekel. Right? But if every person on my way to town takes a seed and tastes it, by the time I get to town, I won't have any seeds left to sell. And that's what people were doing. So they were damaging one another in minuscule ways that you couldn't sue them. And Chazal say that that was the destruction of society. When you look for a way or you ignore the damage that you inflict on someone else because it's minuscule, well, what's a little bit of damage? I just bumped by his car, so I made a little dent. I made a little scratch. A dent in a car is more than a little seed. But a little scratch, people allow themselves to just scratch a little bit. It's reached a point where I once, in the United States, I opened the car door and I was uncertain as to whether or not I scratched the car next to me. So now what am I supposed to do? So I'm trying to figure out. I'm in this public, this is like a supermarket parking area. How do I find the owner of the car? So I'm thinking. And then I decide, okay, I leave a note with a little bit of money. But I can't leave a lot of money because you leave a lot of money outside on his windshield. What's going to be? And I wrote, I'm not sure if I scratched here and here. And please give me a call if I owe you more. Now, today I realize I made myself pretty vulnerable. I mean, if he wanted to sue me and say, hey, you did this and that, I don't know how much he could sue me for, but I'm not sure it was such a smart thing to do in hindsight. Right. I was contemplating that. That's a different answer, why I left him some money. In a nutshell, okay, that's a different question, but I'll put it to you this way. Let's say you and I are sitting here, and you own this picture, And I lean over and I break the pitcher. Pitcher cost you 10 shekel. And I say, Mayor, I feel so bad. And you say, well, at some point it would have broken. And I say, no. How much do I owe you? And you say, nah, it would have broken anyways. And I say, no, think about it. How much I owe you? Call me and tell me how much I have to pay you. Are you ever going to call? Are you ever going to call and tell me, pay me the 7 shekel you owe me, or the 5 shekel you owe me, or the 3 shekel you owe me? No, you're not going to call. But if someone who you felt really, really close to would ask you, hey, Mayor, how do you feel about that pitcher he broke? What would you say? You'd say, well, I feel like he ruined my pitcher. He should give me a new pitcher. I could say, well, why didn't you say so? And you would say, well, I didn't feel comfortable saying so. Sometimes you feel petty. A guy takes your pen, uses it, breaks it. Are you going to tell him, hey, pay me for that pen? No, you feel petty. At the same time, you need a pen. You're going to have to spend that money. You would want the money for the pen. So there are areas in halacha where we say the other side might be embarrassed to tell you what they're really thinking. So I felt like if I'm going to leave him a note on his windshield, I think I might have scratched your car. Please give me a call. So it could be he'll see the scratch and he'll say, yeah, that wasn't there when I left. I think it's very likely you did scratch that, but he'll feel petty about calling. On the other hand, I don't owe him a brand new paint job because I put one scratch there. So I figured that's a fair compromise, because on the one hand, I do have to make it that if he really wants to be paid, I have to pay him. I don't really have to pay him. Halachically, I'm motzim chavro alav ra'ya. He has to prove that I did the damage, and if I have to pay, prove that I owe you the money. But if I want to fulfill my obligations, meaning in court, he wouldn't be able to make me pay. There's no proof I inflicted the damage. But I'm not looking for the courts down here. I'm looking for the courts up there. If I damaged him, I want to pay him what I owe him. So then, that's why I prefer to leave some money, because I figured that's about the amount of money that I thought I owed him halachically. I don't remember what it was, and I don't remember how many years ago it was, and I don't remember if it was $1 or $2. I figured, how much does that much paint cost, etc. How much do I really have to pay him for scratching, if I inflicted that scratch? But the logic behind it was that he might want that payment, but won't feel comfortable calling and asking for it. So we are supposed to take that into account. But let's go back to our original question. We've been sidetracked with littering. So littering is an improper thing to do. And whether God is going to take a person to task for it, like the people of Sodom and Amorah and the people of the flood, or we can take them to task, well, we can't. It's very difficult for us to take them to task for it. What did I do? I put a wrapper on your yard. Now, it is an improper thing to do. So the answer to the first question is, it's wrong. You're not supposed to litter. Exactly under which guidelines it falls? Is it being cruel to your fellow man? Is it wasting his time? Is it causing minuscule damages which build up and really take their toll, like we see from the story of Sodom and Amorah? I think it can be all of the above. It can be all of the above. Which leads us to the second question. Well, then why aren't rabbis talking about it? Which we'll discuss in a minute. I think our pizza is here.